Right. I tell you, this is just awesome, and today is an amazing day. Today is Resurrection Sunday, and today is the day that our Lord rose from the dead. And I just want to share with us today, I'm going to go through quite a few scriptures, because we just need to get a revelation of what actually happened and what it means to us. And, you know, just before I start, this is so significant because Jesus came, he died, and he rose again to life. And this has got so much significance for us. And I want to show us and teach us what it means to us. So right now, if we look at each other right now, here we look at each other and we see each other and we see each other in a certain way. But I hope by the end of this preach and as the Holy Spirit moves, we're going to see each other different because we are different and Jesus has made us different. And I want to read quite a lot of scriptures today because I want scripture to interpret scripture today. Because there comes a time in our lives when we need to suddenly make a decision and say, I realize what Jesus has done, who he is, and what it means for me. Because when we grasp that, it changes everything. He changed our lives. He changed everything. In the beginning, there was the fall of man, where things changed physically and spiritually. There was a change. We were separated from God. And even natural things changed. But do you know, when Christ was resurrected from the dead, there was a spiritual change again and a natural change, which I want to show us and which we need to grab hold of. So the title of this message is To Know Him and the Power of His Resurrection. And I think just sometimes as Christians and as believers, we're thinking we still got to attain to, or we've got to get to, or we're trying to like get better, or we've got to measure up. I want to show us today that we already are in the fullness of God, that we are already changed and we have everything, that we are different and we are renewed. And I want us to start having the mindset of not I have to get there, I have to attain the victory, I need to get somewhere. We are changed. We have the fullness of God dwelling in us. We are seated in heavenly places, and we need to change this revelation, this mindset. Sally brought us a word last Friday, and I want to read it, because today, what happened today, the resurrection of Christ, is what everything we believe in stands on. Otherwise, our gospel is in vain and means nothing. This is what separates us from every other religion out there, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God coming fully man and fully God and dying and being raised and having witnesses seen him as being raised from the dead. And because of that, it has changed our lives. So there's no other religion, I just want to start off as well, no other religion that can claim what we claim. What Christ has given us. God is creator of everything. He has no beginning and he has no end. He loved us first and personally caused each and every one of us, personally, not as a group. He came into this world fully man and fully God. He performed miracles and fulfilled over 2,000 prophecies, and he's still going to fulfill many more. No other religion can claim this. It's fact. He taught us how to have a relationship with him. God himself teaching us to have a relationship with himself and know how to live according to his ways. This God died for our sins, even though we rebelled against him. This God that we know died for our sins, even though we rebelled against him. He was buried and rose again from the dead with eyewitnesses who saw it and can confirm it. He's also given us, and this is what I want to move into. I want to empower us here today. I want to empower us to go out there and to be different and to change this world. because we are victorious. Because he gave us the power, he gave us an inheritance, he gave us a hope, and he gave us a future. No other religion and no other God can give you that. Only our God. We serve the true God, worthy of giving up our lives for him who gave up his life for us. So I want to just read 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 to 14. What does Scripture tell us? From verse 1. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you. What was the gospel that Paul brought? Which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. This is the gospel. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. And I don't want anyone here to believing in vain. A lot of us can walk, yet our Christianity is in vain unless we grasp the foundation of what we believe in. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. This is what changed Paul's life, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. We need to grasp this revelation that God did come as man, he did walk this earth, he was crucified, he was buried, and God did raise him from the dead. This is the foundation of what we believe in. Then he appeared to James and to the other apostles. And then I go on to verse 19. It says, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And what the revelation that Paul had, we need to grasp, who are we? Who are we because of what Jesus did? And I'm going to show us. And his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that was within me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Not if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead. How can some of you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there is no resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and our faith is in vain. So my point is, we need to believe in this power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why? Because we have also died, and we have also been resurrected into newness of life, which I want to explain to you. So what does this mean for us? We cannot benefit from this new life if we don't understand what we have received, what Jesus did for us, and what he has given us. Colossians 1, 13 to verse 14. Listen to this. Okay, these scriptures, I want them to talk to you. Take them and receive them. Colossians 1, verse 13 to 14 says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We are not being moved. We are not attaining to. We have been delivered from the power of darkness. We are renewed. So we have been delivered out of something, and we need to know what we've been delivered out of, and we've been delivered into something, which we need to know what we've been delivered into and how this works. Sally's word quickly was about a tunnel, and she was saying that God came and died for us. He said, and my beloved, just as that tunnel gives us access to what is beyond, Jesus has given us access to something that is beyond. He has given us access into his kingdom. So we have been delivered out of, into. We've delivered out of an old covenant, the law, into a better and new covenant. And he has made a better way. But to enter, we had to die. And to gain it, we have to live a new life. And this is what our whole message and gospel is all about. Jesus died, we died. Jesus raised from the dead, we were raised into a new life. Right, let's go into the teaching. What are some of the things that are significant for us? And what did we receive? So when Jesus died, he was buried, and he was resurrected into a new life. There were eyewitnesses, and he returned to heaven. When we received Jesus into our lives, we were baptized, and we invited him into our lives. What happened when we were baptized? We died to self. We said, I give up my life, and I live for you. So, as Christ died, so we died. As he lives, so we live. We are reborn. We are different. We are changed. We are renewed. And I want to give you some of the scriptures that happened to us, which sometimes we don't really understand or walk in, so we don't attain to the fullness of what Jesus wants us to walk in. So the world changes us from outside in. It gives us things. It gives us fleshly pleasures. It gives us desires. It gives us lusts. Jesus changes us from the inside out. We have been given the Holy Spirit, which changes us on the inside. And we have to realize this so that we can change ourselves from outside. And a lot of our hardship in Christianity is we're still trying to change ourselves from the outside. We're still trying to do things. We're still trying to achieve things. Maybe we're still trying to please people. We're still trying to do outward things, where we have actually been changed from the inside. And when we grasp this thing of getting in tune with what is inside of us, it will change us outwards. So we have been changed on the inside, changing us outside. What is some of this change? One, listen to this. When we were born again in Jesus Christ, through the power of his resurrection, there were some things that happened. One, we were given a new heart. Okay, we need to know this. We were given a new heart. Ezekiel 11, 19 to 21 says, then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of the flesh, and give them a heart of flesh. We have been given a new heart. That they may walk. Listen to this. Why have we been given a new heart? So that we can walk in his statutes and keep his judgments and do them, and they shall be my people, and I shall be their God. But as for those whose hearts follow the desire of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord God. Now, you have, and I have, a new heart. You need to tell yourself this. You need to claim it. You need to accept it. Because sometimes we lie in our beds, or we're going about work, but our head tells us something else. Our head tells us, I can't do this. My head tells me I can't follow after Jesus. My head tells me I need to be watching TV. I'm rather going to do this. We need to quieten our heads and listen to our hearts. Because we have a new heart, a heart that longs and desires after God. That hard heart of ours has gone. But Satan will come and deceive us and tell us, no, your heart is still hard. It is not. Because here is proof that we have been given a new heart. So one of the keys to this is to listen to your heart. It follows after Jesus. It's our head and our mind that sometimes gets in the way. All right? So you have got a new heart. Grab hold of that. You're not getting a new heart. It's not changing. It has been given to you. It's been changed. Two, we have been resurrected into a new life. Romans 6, 4 to 13. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Okay, so we walk in a newness of life. Now, I'm just laying this down because you're going to gather all this information, and then we're going to walk in it. We should not be walking according to our old ways. When we gave our lives to Jesus Christ, our lives, like Jesus did, changed radically. We walk in a new life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, Mark has been telling us, have you been to your own funeral? We've all died to ourselves. We've died to our old life. We have died. And these are things we need to be telling ourselves. It has happened. And this is what I'm trying to say. Is a lot of us are still trying to achieve it. I'm telling you, it has already occurred. And this is what I want you to grasp today. It has already done it. Jesus has already given us. Jesus gave up everything for us. And you know, I was lying there when I was just going through this, and I said, you know, Jesus gave up everything so that we can have everything. Do you know for him it was worth it? Do you know for him it was worth it to go to the cross for each and every single one of us so we can have all things? So it says, we've been united together in the likeness of his death. Certainly we also shall be in the likeness, listen to this, of his resurrection. We are changed. We are reborn. We have been resurrected. Yet we live in this old, yet we lust in this world, yet we set roots in this world. Why would we do that when we have been resurrected together with Jesus Christ, knowing that our old man was crucified with him? And today, if you haven't crucified fully your old man with him, you need to realize that it has been done. And this is what I want to get. It's so easy when we realize that Jesus has done it for us and that we don't have to do it ourselves. So many times we go through life trying to do it, but when you realize that it has been done, it is easy. You see, knowing that our old man, listen to this, was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should be no longer slaves of sin. Anyone here still a slave of sin? Then you haven't received this full revelation, because we have been set free. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. No more pride of life, no more lusts of the eyes, lusts of the flesh. We are alive in him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God and us as well. We no longer live for this world, for the things of this world. Our whole lives now turn towards God. We've got a new heart. We've got a new life. We've been resurrected. It says, likewise, and here's a key. I'm going to give you some keys. How do we do this? We go and we change. We go and we do certain things. We throw certain things away. Yes, that will happen. But here's the key. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves. Believe it. It's happened. I don't have to go and do it. Jesus did it for me. All I need to do is reckon it. In other words, take hold of it, believe it, and walk in it. So it says, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Guys, this is such a joyous thing. This is such an amazing thing. We are alive in Christ Jesus. It says, therefore, he has a caution, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts, and do not present your members as instrument of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. We have been born into a new set of principles. So we used to live to a certain set of principles that were worldly. It was the system of the world that comes from the devil. It trapped us, and it bound us, and it held us captive. We have been freed from that. We've come out of that, and we live in this new set of principles which Jesus shows us, which he walked in, which we are now alive to, and we've got a heart that can receive it. Okay? Starting to make sense. Not we are, we have. Not we going to move, we have been transformed. We are new. And that's my third point. We are new creations. I mean, this is amazing. We can say, yeah, I'm a new creation. No, we are new creations. The old Craig is gone. the things that my teachers taught me, the things and the principles of life that even my parents taught me, the things that my friends would put on me and tell me and box me and bind me and limit me are gone. That is not who I am. I am a new creation in Jesus Christ, the fullness of the Godhead living in me, filled with gifts, filled with freedom, with power and might to go and do His work. That is who I am now. Do you believe it? Because if you're limited and you're not changing people and you're not witnessing and you don't have freedom in your life, you're still living in the old and you haven't received and moved into this fullness of being a new creation. I am not who the world brought up. I am who Jesus died for and has brought me into. Okay, we need to get this. It's a mindset and it's a heart thing. Or 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 to 19. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge this, that if one died for all, then all died. Everyone who received Jesus Christ has died and is born into something new. And if he died for all, and those who live should live no longer for themselves. Another key. Are you still living for yourself? We've got this on now. I'm doing this. I don't feel like doing that. Now I'm making my own way. I'm making my plans. You have not moved and done this transition in your heart. You're still believing old and you're not living in the new. You're living for yourself and not for Jesus. We are reborn unto Him. But for Him who died and then and rose again. Verse 16. Therefore from now on we regard no one according to the flesh. We are not flesh anymore. We do not live according to the flesh. We are spirit. Spirit and truth. We have been changed, reborn, spiritual beings. We don't live it, and we're not seeing it. And I believe the time is coming where Jesus is really moving, and the power of the Holy Spirit is moving to take us on and take the church into this realm. We've been blending in, yet we need to be set apart. It's going to take great courage, great boldness. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know Him thus no longer. He was reborn. Same with us. We don't see each other anymore. We even treat each other in fleshly ways. Are you sick? No, we are spiritual. Let's pray. Let's bind these things. Let's move. Let's walk in the spiritual realm that we are called in. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, listen to this. He is a new creation. You need to be telling yourself, I am a new creation. I am different. I'm no longer the same. It'll change your life. It does change your life. We keep living in the old. Satan keeps pulling us into that. No, you're not. No, you're still this. No, you still got all those thoughts. No, all those hurts. No, all those things that people have put on you. No, lies. I'm reborn, fresh, new, a new creation. Old things have passed away. Not are fading away. They have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, and has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. You see, through us, through this new life, through this revelation, this joy, we are reconciling others to God. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And if we have been fully reconciled to the Father, we will go out and be ministers of reconciliation to others. Number four, what else has happened to us? And this is quite an amazing thing. Our hearts have been circumcised. So we know in the old covenant, as a covenant to the commitment to God, they were circumcised. But we go through a heart circumcision. So our hearts have been circumcised. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. It says, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. Our hearts cannot help but receive Jesus, to love Him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our strength, with all our minds. Our hearts have been circumcised. What does this mean? Colossians 2, verse 11 to 14. It says, when we received Him, and when we were reborn into this new creation, just like Christ, it says, in Him you were also circumcised. You were circumcised. With the circumcisions made without hands, by putting off the body of sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith, in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. This flesh of ours has been removed from our hearts. And yet we say, oh, the attractions of this earth and the lusts in that are so strong. But yet if we understand that that has been cut off, the body of flesh has been cut off. It has been removed off us. We are cleansed and renewed. We are righteous and holy. Yet why do we still have such a pull of this flesh? It's because it reminds us, you know, when somebody whose leg is amputated, you know, somebody whose leg is amputated, they're lying there, they don't have a leg. It's been cut off. But yet they can still feel it. They still feel their toes moving. They still say, nurse, my leg is aching, it's sore. And the nurse will say, you know, your leg's been amputated. All it is, it's a reminder of what we used to know. Do you know, read it, study it, our flesh has been cut off. Circumcised by Jesus in our lives. So stop, let's stop living in it. Let's stop being attracted to earthly and worldly things when it has been cut off. Our hearts are fully given to Jesus as his heart was fully given to us. Point five, and here's an astounding statement as well. We are the children of God. We have been reconciled into his family. We need to act and work and live our lives in a new family. We have been birthed into the family of God. He is our Father, and we are brothers and sisters. And that's why we fellowship. That's why we join together. That's why we do the same thing. And that's why when we are equally yoked with those in the world, we should be mixing with the world, but to reconcile him to the Father. But we don't do as they do. They are different to us because we've been reborn into another family. Okay, I just want to read that. It says 1 John 3, verse 1 to 10. It says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us. Why does this world seem so unfamiliar and strange and hard to us? Because it doesn't know us. Because we've been reborn into a new kingdom, into a new family. And that's why this world is so difficult for us to live in. It makes no sense because we've been transformed, because it did not know him. Beloved, now you are children of God, and it is not yet revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And listen to this. Have you got this hope? Because it says everyone who has this hope will purify themselves and be pure just as he is pure. So if you've got this revelation, you will be purifying yourself. You will be changing yourself, because whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Verse 6, he has a key. I've been giving you keys. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Are you abiding in Jesus all the time? Abiding means remaining, staying, dwelling, being with Jesus all the time, never separating, never moving from him. We'll be working, we'll be doing things, but we'll be abiding in Christ all the time. Because if we are abiding with him, we will not sin. Verse 8 says, he who sins, listen to this, is of the devil, and we are not. We have been reborn into the family of God. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. And then it goes on to verse 9. It says, whoever has been born of God does not sin. Listen to this. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. For his seed remains in him. We've been reborn of the seed of God. A revelation again. These scriptures are going to have to sink in. You're going to have to go home, take some of these scriptures and read them, because it takes great revelation for just to fill in and to impact us. But we are born of the seed of God. God's seed is in us. The Holy Spirit. We are now his, a new nature being placed in us so that our characters can change. And listen what it says. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. And some translations say you cannot habitually sin, because we know we do sin. So what we should do is we should not be habitually sinning, because we have the nature of God within us. Point six. We have been given an inheritance. Now, I don't know about you, but I see some Christians that are walking around and they are a bit lost and they are a bit down and they are a bit weary. Yet, you know, the word tells us we should be filled with joy. We should be dancing before God. We've got a hope and a future. Do you know that we have an inheritance to look forward to? An inheritance waiting for us in heaven. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 to 5. It says, "Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us," that means fathered us again, "to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So these are all things that Jesus has done for us through his resurrection. We have received this inheritance. "An inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved for in heaven for you." Who's looking forward to that inheritance? I think we forget about it. I think we're so caught up in this world that we are building up mansions and things on this earth for ourselves when we forget that we are storing up an for our inheritance. We are giving into a spiritual place, into a kingdom that we cannot see, that we are going to, that Jesus is preparing for us. And if we have this kind of heart, if we have this kind of change, and if we've been renewed into this kind of thing, we will be looking forward to our inheritance in heaven. Yet we plant ourselves so firmly into this world. I want, I'll have this, I'll build this for me. I'm setting up these walls around me. I'm building my mansion here on earth. That is not us. We've been delivered from that into this new inheritance. Jesus had nothing, yet he had everything. We see people who are walking around who have less than us, who are so happy and so joyful because they know they have everything stored up in heaven. They are sowing in heaven so that when they get there, Jesus will say, "Welcome, my good and faithful servant." It says in verse 5, "And are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." You know, an inheritance is an acquisition of a possession. Do you know that Jesus Christ has made us co-heirs with him? Co-heirs. The word says co-heirs. So it's not like Jesus says, "Okay, here I am, and you have this and this and this." The word says when we get to heaven, we will be co-heirs with him. Everything he has will be ours. Everything that is the Father's will be ours. Now, you know, just this should be a revelation to make us so happy that we just want to jump up and praise God, that we will give up everything of this world. We'll just hold on to things so lightly because our inheritance is there. Be careful you're not sowing here, because God says, "Then I'll give you this." And then just quickly, I want to say, how do we mature into this life? So it's all very well saying, "Well, I've got all these things, and I hear what you're saying, and I need to walk in it and accept it. I've got all these things, but how? How do I grow into this?" And just 6 points that will help you on this. 1, continually seek to grow by applying the word. Continually seek to grow by applying the word. And the scripture for that is 1 Peter 2, verse 1 to 5. I'm not going to read all the scriptures, but I'm just going to give you the points. But write the scriptures down so you can go and read them at home. But it says in verse 2, near the end, it says that you may, it says, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby." As much as you are applying the word is as much as you will grow. Okay? And you cannot grow beyond your obedience. As much as you are being obedient to the word and applying it to you is how far you will mature and grow. Okay, so be applying the word to your life. The word that I've just read to you before, start applying it to your life. 2, be led by the Holy Spirit. A key in your life, get in tune. We've all received the Holy Spirit. Okay, I want to say again, we have the Holy Spirit. The minute we gave our lives to Jesus Christ, we received the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We've learned to hear messages. We've learned to hear denominations preach. We've heard churches' visions. We've learned so much we get from the pulpit that we sometimes have forgotten to hear the Holy Spirit. We do hear the Holy Spirit. And that's another lie that the devil will come and tell you, is when your head's doing things, go back to your heart. We've been given a new heart. The flesh has been circumcised off us. We do hear the Holy Spirit. Some of us say, I don't hear the Holy Spirit. I don't know how we hear the Spirit. Or you've just read, you do. We have been given all things. We have been transferred from the power of darkness. We have received the Holy Spirit. We do have a new life. We are new creations, and we do hear the Holy Spirit. And we are led by the Holy Spirit. So be led by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12 to 16. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the verse 12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Let's go hear the Holy Spirit again. Mark's going to share something just now about what we're going to do as a church and as a body so that we can hear that Holy Spirit again. 3, here's a big one. We need to be continually changing. All right, some of us settle. We receive the gospel. We receive the Holy Spirit. We receive this fullness of life, but we settle. We settle for so little. Yet God says, Jesus says, I died that you can have everything, an abundance of life, a fullness that you may attain of everything that I'm giving you. So we need to be continually changed. 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, but we all with unveiled face behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image. Our goal, our walk is to be just like Jesus, to be transformed into the same image. So let's keep pressing on so that we can. And Mark actually read Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I want to remind us, are you too good to go to church, to prayer meetings, to go serve a brother, to take somebody food, to go see where somebody is? No, because I am too interested in my comforts. Or then you're not being a living sacrifice. Look into your heart again. Look who we are. Look what Jesus did so that we can do it, because we are these things. We are holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do me not be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then it goes on to say that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 4th point, bear fruit. Look at yourself. If we've received all these things, are you bearing fruit? Are you changing people's lives? Are you good for people? Are you bringing life to people? When you walk into a room, are you changing the atmosphere in that room? Are you bringing freedom to people by your words? Are you bringing them liberty? Are you praying for them? Are you curing them of their diseases? Are you giving them hope? Are you giving them assurance? That is who we are. Ministers of reconciliation. Are we doing it? Because we should be, and we are capable of it. God has given us everything we need to do it. And I want to remind us again, a lot of us are still trying to attain it. And what I'm telling us is we have it. We have the fullness. Today, now, instantly, we can go into any place, into any situation, into any circumstances, and set people free. We are the light of this world and the salt of this earth. Are you bearing fruit? The scriptures for that is John 15, verse 1 to 8. The key to it is to abide in the vine so that we can bear fruit. We also know the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, I think 22. Learn the fruits of the Spirit, because we should be doing all those things. Love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, self-control. 5, a big one, continue to walk in victory. So often we get just bashed down and we get into our corner and it's, oh, the world is against me, Satan is attacking me. No, we are victorious because Jesus rose from the dead. We have risen into new life. We must walk in victory. 1 John 5 verse 4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Listen to me. Overcomes the world. We have overcome the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Our faith. And in these next few weeks, as Mark is going to show us, we're going to be building our faith. Because sometimes our faith can take a knock, but we need to build up our faith. And the last point is that we need to be trained through discipline. The verse, the scripture for that is Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 11. It says, God disciplines his children and those that he loves. Count it all joy when we are being disciplined by God. So why? So that we can be obedient to him. Sometimes we think we've been disciplined because we've been punished. It is not that. God doesn't bring training and discipline into our lives to punish us, but to change us so that we can be disciplined unto him. So to sum up the message for today, there was a lot to take in. Go back, let's read the scriptures. But I want us to be filled and to know that we are changed. I just think too many of us are walking in a place where we are still in the grave. I was speaking to Thora, I was saying a lot of Christians are still grave dwellers. We've maybe died and we've been buried, but we haven't really been resurrected into this newness of life. We are changing this world. We are changing people's lives. We are the body of Christ. We are making a difference. We are reconciling. We are the fruits that go out there and do the work of ministry. So let's do it. Let's go out there. Let's be filled with faith and do it. So the message is Christ and Christ crucified. Our message is Christ and Christ crucified. The meaning is that we have been reborn into the family of God and into relationships. And the measure is obedience and Christ-likeness. Okay. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for these times. We thank you for your message. Father, we thank you that we are changed. We thank you that we have newness of life. We thank you that you have put a new heart within us. We thank you that we have been circumcised of the flesh. This flesh has been cut off. It does not control us anymore, and it does not have power over us. Sin has no more victory over us. You have done it. We are new creations. We are walking in the power, the authority, and the might of the Holy Spirit. We are living resurrected lives. Our homes are no longer here on earth. Our homes are in heaven. We are coming into an inheritance that is with you. Lord, let us do everything. Let us sow. Let us point everything unto you that is in heaven. So, Father, may we go and be changed. May we be different, because we have been given all the things. You are not a hard taskmaster like the law that put law upon us that we could never achieve. You died for us so that we can achieve everything that your word says. So we thank you for this, Lord. May we go on and be bold and courageous to take on everything that you have given us. And may we become everything that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.